here's a story from The World.
The other day I went shopping for the kibble I feed my dog, out of stock, and the store did not know when they'd get more. These days, a lot of us are wondering, where's my stuff? What's taking so long? We asked The World's Jason Margolis to look into this.
Last summer, the caster wheel on my outdoor ping pong table broke, so I ordered a new one. Pretty straightforward.
Did you eventually get the caster you were looking for?
Well, yeah. I invited my friend John Mulliken over to come play and talk through what happened. He knows a lot about moving stuff around the world, getting things from here to there. He used to be the chief technology officer at Wayfair,
the biggest online furniture retailer in the world.
All right, so here we are in my backyard. We just played ping pong. You're an excellent ping pong player. That wheel took me 6 months to get. I ordered it in June.
6 months is a really long time.
Does that surprise you?
Not at all. Everything was taking forever.
So given your expertise, why are you not surprised by this?
Well, it's your fault. It's my fault. It's all of our fault. I mean, we didn't go anywhere for 15 months, and people substituted experiences for stuff. They just started buying stuff, and more stuff. And there's only so many factories in the world, and there's only so many boats and planes in the world.
To get a little more technical, my ping pong wheel didn't arrive from Asia because global supply chains are out of whack. Sometimes with devastating impacts, says Thomas Romer. He co-directs MIT's LGO program, or Leaders for Global Operations.
I hear from manufacturers of sophisticated goods, like ventilators, we were waiting for people that could deliver the right bolts. We're talking bolts. We're talking about something that is actually fairly easy to manufacture.
Academics like Romer study this phenomenon where sudden changes in demand can create big production challenges up and down the supply chain. At MIT, they run an academic exercise using beer.
Hypothetical beer. So you have a retailer, then you have a wholesaler. Now the retailer gives the demand, needs to estimate demand for the wholesaler. The wholesaler has a distributor, and behind that there's a factory or a brewery. And it's a lot more fun to play it with beer than with matches or something like that. At least with hypothetical beer.
When playing the beer game, you can see what happens when everybody suddenly wants to try your new brew. Suppliers struggle to react quickly enough. That's just an academic simulation taught in business schools, though. With the pandemic,
it's like a conductor basically saying, now we all play the beer game with 20,000 different products, not just with beer.
And things got a bit crazy. Everybody wanted hand sanitizer, toilet paper, individual ketchup packets, and bicycles like yesterday. Factories and businesses simply couldn't keep up. Then add this in, modern businesses have gotten really good at running lean. Holding excess inventory is expensive. Warehousing costs add up. After World War II, Toyota pioneered what's called just-in-time delivery. Inventory is created as needed. Toyota's model, avoid waste, stay nimble, save money. Willie Shi at the Harvard Business School says his students know these lessons well.
I look at students in the school and they're all allergic to carrying inventory, right? Because it all can be turned into cash.
For decades, our global supply chain system has mostly worked really well. But for things to go smoothly, businesses need to accurately forecast demand and have a reliable delivery system. Throw a big wrench in the system like a deadly global virus.
All those assumptions about easy movement of goods, reliability, dependability, low cost, those have all gone out the window. If you look at ocean container shipping, reliability and schedule reliability is at an all-time low.
So it's fairly simple economics, actually.
Mirto Kalopsidi is an economist specializing in trade and transport markets on the other side of Harvard's campus. She says it's about supply and demand with ships, too. Factories in Asia haven't been able to get access to sea transport. Then at U.S. ports, container ships have been backed up. That's partly because fewer dock workers were available during the pandemic. And now a fresh wave of COVID infections at some Asian ports is causing further disruptions.
So you're going to have a lot of people looking for ships. Prices are going to spike and there won't be enough ships to transport this.
Still, economists and business leaders say you don't blow up the system because of one wild year. So getting back to my ping pong wheel.
Is this flat?
Let's put things in a bit of perspective. Is it really that big of a deal if my wheel was delayed by a few months? I asked my friend John Mulliken if I'm just being a little whiny.
Well, for a ping pong table, yeah, I mean, I think you are kind of whiny. You could have used a book. But for many pieces, like, you know, vital equipment to make equipment in hospitals do what they're supposed to do, they had the exact same problems. And that's not just being whiny. I mean, the reality is that we're used to behaving in a certain way. The whole economy has been spending decades trying to get leaner and leaner. And so that's all fine as long as everything goes exactly as predicted. And the reality is, once there's a hiccup in the system, you're stuck.
So in answer to the question, where's my stuff? It's coming, but expect further delays. For The World, I'm Jason Margolis.
Game to 11?
Sure.
You don't want to have any disadvantages? You don't have any excuses?